Good morning, Franciscans.
Good morning.
My, there are lots of you. Wonderful to welcome back those of you who have spent a cool summer somewhere else. We're very glad you're back, and we saved your favorite pew for you. We have visitors this morning. Welcome to St. Francis. We're very glad you're with us for this Thanksgiving Sunday. And something to look forward to in the gospel today, Jesus talks about the bread of Thanksgiving. So listen for that. We've published the service almost in its entirety in your bulletin to make it easy to follow along. And, the rest can wait.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the crowd found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they would say to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the word of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May I be the first to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. This week, all across America, families and friends are making plans to celebrate the holiday together. A man in Phoenix called his son in New York this week and said, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are getting a divorce. 45 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son screamed. "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer," the father said. "We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her." Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. "No way are they getting divorced. I'll take care of this." Immediately, she called Phoenix and screamed at her father, "You're not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" And she hung up. In Phoenix, the old man hung up his phone. He turned to his wife and said, "Okay, they're both coming for Thanksgiving. And they're paying their own way." Well, for any of you who may need some help getting in the mood for the holidays, let's begin this morning with a little Thanksgiving attitude adjustment. Whether you need it or not, it won't hurt any of us. I didn't write this piece I'm about to share, but see if you can figure out who did, Nobody at 8 o'clock could. You've got a fresh chance. Everybody gets a guess. The writer says, "Today is Thanksgiving Sunday, so take a few minutes to reflect upon all the things for which you're thankful. How's your health? Not good? Well, thank God you've lived this long. A lot of people haven't. You're hurting? Thousands, maybe millions, are hurting even more. Have you ever visited a veterans hospital or a rehabilitation clinic for crippled children? If you awakened this morning and were able to hear the birds sing, were able to use your vocal cords to utter human sounds, were able to walk to the breakfast table on two good legs and to read the news from the paper or your phone with two good eyes, praise the Lord. A lot of people can't. How's your pocketbook? Thin? Well, most of the world is a lot poorer. No pensions, no welfare, no food stamps, no Social Security. In fact, 1/3 of the people in the world will go to bed hungry tonight. Are you lonely? The way to have a friend is to be one. If nobody calls you, pick up the phone and call somebody. Are you concerned about your country's future? Hooray! Our system has been saved with such concern. Your country may not be a rose garden, but neither is it a patch of weeds. Freedom rings. Look and listen. You can still worship at the church of your choice. Cast a secret ballot. Even criticize your government without fearing a knock on the head or a knock on the door at midnight. And if you want to live under a different system, you're free to go. There are no walls or fences, nothing to keep you here." This piece ends with a Thanksgiving prayer, but I've included in your bulletin a sheet of Thanksgiving prayers from which you may choose to offer at your Thanksgiving table, whether you are the host or a guest. Have you figured out who wrote our Thanksgiving attitude adjustment?
Andy Rooney
is a guest. Okay. Anybody else? Bishop Curry. He could have done it. Wasn't me. Any others?
Billy Graham.
You've been listening to the traditional Thanksgiving column of Abigail Van Buren. Dear Abby, I think of this as Abby's Thanksgiving boot camp, our attitude adjustment. Its thesis is, you can teach yourself to look for blessings in any situation and to find them. Shall we test out Abby's thesis? For Thanksgiving, there is a riveting story recently in the Arizona Republic. Back in 2005 and 6, Phoenix was terrorized by random shootings from a car on the streets. By the time police arrested two men, whom they named the serial shooters, they had murdered 8 people and wounded 18 more. One young man named Paul Patrick was cut down in the middle of Indian School Road by a shotgun blast at close range. Paul was an Army veteran who worked in a supermarket. The night he was shot, he was walking to a neighborhood gas station to buy a pack of cigarettes. A good Samaritan named Saul Guerrero saw the shooting. He rushed to Paul and literally pulled his body parts together until paramedics could get him to a hospital. The doctors saved his life, but it was a very circumscribed life that they were able to save. Paul lived in a nursing home without the use of his legs, unable to work. When the serial shooters were put on trial, Paul attended court every day, seated on a scooter. He testified as a victim, and he especially waited for the man who pulled the trigger to testify. He wanted to learn why the man had shot him. On the day of the shooter's testimony, Paul said, "I suddenly realized there was no reason." After testifying, but before the trial was over, he suffered a massive stroke and remained bedridden for the rest of his life. But, and this is the reason I'm telling you this story, even confined to bed, Paul Patrick never lost his sense of purpose. Paul didn't have a drinking problem, but he attended AA meetings held in his nursing home to offer support and encouragement for others. And he never lost his sense of humor. During a newspaper interview, he reminded a reporter that he'd been shot while going out for a pack of cigarettes. With a grin, he said, "Smoking can kill you." Paul's Good Samaritan, Saul Guerrero, has gone on from that life-saving encounter to be trained as an emergency medical technician. They've kept in touch through these years until this past year, when Paul, 13 years after he was shot, died of his injuries at age 58. Saul says, "I feel bad for how his life ended because he suffered, but I don't regret having saved his life. For Paul, I think it was worth it to be able to face the people who did that to him, to speak up for other victims. God needed somebody to be the voice of justice for those other people." When you and I figure out what our life means, what we're living for, when we find that meaning rooted in God and supported by our faith, then we can endure suffering of all sorts. We can be unafraid even at the prospect of death. That all-important figuring out can happen to us anywhere, but it is far and away most likely to happen while we're deep in prayer, whatever the form in which we pray best. That meaning in our life is likely to come clearest to us when we're right here, celebrating life's special moments together, our moments and others' moments, aha moments, God moments. When times get really tough for us, how do we control our anxieties and give thanks? First, breathe deep, say a prayer, and then take a step. As the letter of James directs us, be a doer of the word. Do a good deed. Make a phone call. Send a text. Invite someone to share a meal. Share what you have, because sharing will remind you that who you are is enough and what you have is enough to make a difference when it is shared. Thanksgiving opens us to God and notably reveals us to ourselves. So, mad or glad, happy or sad, we've come into God's presence here today, and we're about to gather at God's altar to make our great thanksgiving. The Greek word is Eucharist. Offering ourselves in God's service, receiving from God understanding of what our life means as we live it for others, learning to give thanks in every circumstance. On Thanksgiving Sunday, this is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.